Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
This morning we begin with our friend, presenter of Nationwide, Bláthnaid na Cofaig Díorach. You're very welcome. Thanks a million for joining us. You grew up, as we know, in the Gaeltacht na Mí. How many of you were in the house when baby Breed was born?
Four of us. My mum and dad always planned. I was born in Canada with my brother, but my mum and dad always planned. They were from the area originally anyway, but they always planned to come home and to rear the kids in the Gaeltacht. And the Gaeltacht, Drácharn Gaeltacht, is like 40 minutes from Dublin. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Back then it was a bigger deal, trust me, but now it's nothing.
You were born in Canada?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I was born in Canada and I'm in the middle of getting a lot of pressure from my older children. Go for the citizenship so we can work there. So yeah, that's a lot of paperwork.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. But yeah, no, myself and my brother were born there and we came home and we had a house in Trim in Meath while mum and dad were building the house out at home. And Maude was born. And then 10 years later, Breed was born.
And was 12-year-old Bláthnaid delighted with this?
12-year-old Bláthnaid used to fold my mother's apron because it was so big on me. I folded twice and had pins on it, like that I was now having a, you know, I was going to be really minding a real baby rather than dolls.
You're a boss now.
And I loved it. I loved having her. And she was gorgeous. Like, I know, I'm sure people think when people die, they're always gorgeous. No, she was actually the most beautiful baby ever. She had the biggest head of auburn hair, Oliver. Like, know, people go on about like us redheads were so rare. She was auburn. At birth, like, she was just gorgeous and smiling. I mean, knew the attention from day one. There was a big deal. My mother, I won't say, okay, she's listening. I don't think she is, though. I don't think she was able to listen this morning, which is fair enough. So basically, she was, just smiley. I used to go up and you know, people would come in to see her and I'd say, oh, my mother, no, she's asleep now. And I'd say, oh, yeah, I'll just check. I just woke her. All the time.
just
to shake her and then put another baby girl on her and another baby. Try this colour. Try this. I was playing house with my little sister,
So she was spoiled rotten. By the siblings, never mind the
parents. Yeah, she was spoiled rotten. And, you know, it was a different time because, you know, I'm 54. So anyone around in the 80s, you know, I think of the 80s of a lot of rain. I think of hunger strikes and, you know, conflict
bad
and
news,
a very awkward time and very bad for, you know, for employment. And I just remember back a lot of fish fingers and a lot of mincemeat. That's in my head with the 80s, where Breed was born into a world of, yay, we're loaded really, but we're not.
You'd gone off to do work and so on. She would have a different experience.
She's a very different experience because my mum and dad had a little bit more money then for the next one. And she'd like say to us, oh, I love the crab claws in such a place. And I go, you had crab claws, you dirty git. You don't even earn money.
She was doing restaurant reviews as a child.
And then she'd go off to Connemara with my parents and she'd say, we had lovely prawns. And I'm going, what the, this one? And yeah, like we were, it was a very different upbringing. And she was that era, you know, she was kind of, you know, anything is possible when we thought it was here, you know.
So you all go working very young, whereas she gets to travel, doesn't she?
She gets to travel.
She's very adventurous.
Oh, she's adventurous, all right. She had a list of places she wanted to go to and, you know, she would tell me she was going to Australia, you know, just going to travel and just, you know, travel. I thought, that's amazing. And then I saw this just humongous pink hard suitcase, like, the height, my height,
this
and I'm
5'6". This is her version of backpacking, was it?
Okay. And she was dragging this across Australia. But as her husband, Adam, said to me the day, well, actually, he said, I was carrying it across Australia. I said, well, there you go. But she was very adventurous and she had a list of things to do. This time last year, she was in Boston. As sick as she was, it was on her list. And by the way, I don't call it a bucket list because she didn't call it a bucket list.
I see.
But he'd never said she was going to die.
In her life, then, she's obviously the spoiled one, but she's obviously spoiled in a nice way because she's very hardworking and she's very successful in her career.
She is. She was incredibly hardworking and she was, you know, I laugh, myself and Maude, I laugh all the time because she was really good with money. We're rubbish with money. Like, Breed's only spent what she had. Like, she, you know, she and Adam would save and then they'd buy the couch and then they'd do the ensuite.
Yeah, okay,
but we'd be going, oh, that's on the list. I still haven't got the couch. Like, she used to tease me about having like the two massive or one massive Bible under my couch because that my lads broke it and I just never bothered fixing it. You know what I mean? I don't know how you could look at that. And I go, yeah, but please, you know, I'll get around to it. It's really. And then she'd send me hundreds of pictures of couches.
Because she had our house pristine.
Oh, my God. And she'd be telling you what to
do. The home of the year house.
Oh, she loved those programmes. And she said, now, do you like Salt and Pepper? You know, the guy who does the financial advice.
I didn't know. Yeah. This is what Breed's nickname for Owen McGee.
Yeah. Salt and Pepper. Oh, my God. I just saw Salt and Pepper. And I go, who? She knew. Oh, she loved lifestyle programmes. And maybe because I'd done my stint on daytime, I was so over, how, you know, lifestyle programmes or lifestyle themes. And also it's an age thing. You know, you know, my kids are reared as good as they still keep coming back, but they're reared. So I don't really have, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? I've gone, yeah, I should and I could, but I won't today.
You know what the advice?
Yeah.
What did she do for a living? What was
she
her
worked in booking.com.
Oh, so she took her travel thing into her career,
well,
didn't she?
Well, she did, but she adored that job and she knew best. And, you know, when I started Nationwide and I'd end up in a hotel somewhere, she'd say, why is that there? Like, that's only 3 stars. They're not even on our list. And I'd be going, okay, but it really doesn't matter. The sheets are clean. The sheets are clean and there's parking. You know, so yeah, she was.
She did not put up with the lower quality aspects.
Well, it's not just the lower quality. She questioned. She was probably brilliant. Like, listen, you know, when she died, they were amazing. They were so good to her because when she got sick, she didn't know when she was going to come back. Like, you don't know. And it's an awful place for people who have cancer because, you know, there's so many cancers you do get over and there's so many cancers you don't get over and there's so many cancers you live with. But not knowing, and then at a certain point, depending on where you work, you know, you go down to sick pay and then that lessens. It's a cruel place.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
capitalism and the system, it doesn't really...
It just doesn't really marry,
yeah,
does
to work.
It? Yeah, you do have to have something.
What,
and
what does she do for booking.com?
She did, you know, she was, what would you call them? I suppose she'd call herself a... She was kind of a client manager, you know, she was across all these regions.
In the marketing sense,
oh,
was
yeah.
it?
Okay, oh, yeah. So she'd be on to them every day. How'd you do it the weekend?
Oh,
do you
would
know what
she?
To do with that? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And she was hilarious.
So she's very bubbly character.
Very bubbly.
Chatting to hospitality people, so it was crack would meet
yes,
crack.
Yes, and she thought nothing was a big deal. I remember she once said to me, can you get us, you know, she had clients over, can you get us a jersey signed by the whole Dublin team? And I said, no. But can you not just get it? I go, no. Yeah, but with Pather playing, I said, no, I can't.
This
play.
Is your son who
yeah,
plays
sorry.
For Dublin. Yeah.
But I was going, no, please, I can't do that. I wouldn't do that. And anyway, they only would do that for charities and stuff. That's a big deal. Here she was.
Just a gift.
Oh, for God's sake. Like, she thought I could just magic things up.
So she could magic things up, could she, travel-wise?
She could. She was, you know what she was? She was grey crack. She was, now she was a devil too. She'd come in, she'd sit there and she goes, you wouldn't make me a cup of tea. I go, no, I won't. I'm your sister. I'm not making you tea. Make your own tea.
This was the dynamic between
this
the
was
two.
The dynamic. And when we'd have
you'd
dinner.
You'd make her the tea, would you, in the end?
Well, I'd be getting fed up with her. I'd say, please, you know, you're making dinner because we're all trying to get dinner together. You know, for a dad's mass or something at home.
Yeah.
And she'd go, oh God, I brought a lemon meringue pie. And she'd bring the lemon meringue, but... You know, she'd wonder about life. She'd sit there drinking the tea, wondering, well, who's going to serve the dinner?
But sorry, is this in her house or in
no,
your
no, it's my mom's house.
Okay, so your mom's
but
house.
But I loved
good.
Her. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that drove me mad and we clashed terribly, Oliver, and stuff. Like, I'd say black and she'd say white or she'd say white and I could say black easily. But it was a weird, it's weird now that I get such crack out of those stories, thinking about them, you know, on the long walks or when I'm in the car on my own. That's the worst time. You know, you've been filming all day, get into the car and you're going, yay, Nationwide. And Nationwide is brilliant and people love seeing you.
You've met someone amazing that day.
And they tell you the best of stories. And you always leave a Nationwide stories with three other stories. It's the best, right? And then you get into the car and you go, oh, and my hand on the windscreen and I go, oh, the reality.
It just hits each time. Tell us about Adam. Breed is married to Adam, but they seem to have been together for years and
years. Oh, years. And he just, you know, I'm not sure if he wanted to go to half the places she wants to go to, but he went anyway. And she was the organiser. She organised the wedding. She organises everything. She organised everything.
He was a dub, but she was never going to leave.
Oh, God, she wasn't going to leave home. Like, we all left because it was very different then. Like, with some of my siblings went to college and everything, and I was in RT at 18, so Like, I was in school in Dublin at 15, so I was kind of just always leaving.
Yeah.
Whereas, no, Breeds was, you know, and she went to school in Dublin for a while. That's why Una Mullally was, it was so easy to talk to Una in the Times about Breeds for the article, because she knew Breeds.
They were in school together, yes.
Yeah, and Breeds was in school in Dublin, but she was going home. You know, she was going to build at home.
She got this taste of Dublin, but it wasn't...
Oh, no.
Never going to
leave. No, she was more of a homebird than any of us. But I suppose it was a different time. You can live in Rakharni and drive to Dublin to work. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's not a big deal anymore. And your buddy would say to me, oh, my God, why are you driving that car? You're like, her car had to be a big car. And... it had to be a big car, and she loved Volvos. And I go, what's that about?
Oh, I can see her, like, the Volvo driving woman,
and the huge sunglasses,
ringing every hotel in
and
Ireland,
and the Kim Kardashian sunglasses, you know, and they'd be massive. And she'd say to me, my God, why are you driving that car? Like, you'd nearly be a lesser person for the, I don't know, lesser value.
Adam wasn't like this at all. He had to leave Dublin and go to Rathcarn.
I know, for pure love, and he did. You know, they absolutely loved each other, and he still loves her. You know, they really, really, I think she did everything she could to, you know, protect him from the illness and what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she was protecting us, because I don't think she would. I just think she kept it very private, and she never said the words, I'm going to die. Like,
the saddest part of this is they were trying for a baby when the last 5 years essentially began.
Yeah, that was the, but I mean, it was the early stages of that. Like, so many couples do 10 years of that and, you know, and then, but yeah, it was the early stages, and they found, she had to have smear, and they found abnormalities, which...
The first fertility appointment, they say, go for a smear.
Yeah.
And she didn't think there was anything really
to worry about. No, she'd be terrible, but Breed would continue, by the way. Weeks before Breed died, Albert Breed would say to you, oh, no, this immunotherapy will work. Like, she never said the words.
Hope
so
was Breed always there.
Was always. Now, I'm, you know, you analyse things to death when you lose somebody. Was that a front? I don't know.
And I really suppose as siblings, and you're used to having this, you would be thinking you could call her up and ask what's the next stage of treatment, what's going to happen.
You had to be careful, though. You know, 6 months before she died, we had to be very careful, because she'd get annoyed with us. And she kicked me out of the ward, like, at one stage. You're not coming back. You're barred, you know, because I asked too many questions. So, you know, and you'd be like, oh, my God, down the car park. Like, and you'd be sitting there going, oh, my God. And she knew, but she knew I wasn't going to go, you know. We only do that to your sisters, I think. You know, you treat them like, yeah, whatever, hate you, but you won't go away, because...
I think a lot of people understand, like, in a world where privacy is just surrendered now and it's cheap, she really valued her privacy, didn't she?
She did with that. But yet she'd be the first, she'd be on social media like there was no tomorrow. She'd be quoting, did you see Pip O'Connor's new jeans? And I'm getting them. Did you see so-and-so said this about so-and-so? She'd know things on social media that I wouldn't have a clue about. So, and she loved Mrs. Hinch and her book and all that jazz, How to Clean Your House Properly. Like, she knew all that stuff. But yet when it came to... her illness, she kept it to herself. Or was she protecting her husband? I don't know.
How did she let you know that this was serious? Like, that she never really did.
She never really did, Oliver. Like, you know, we knew when it was back and the chemo hadn't worked. And then they had hope with immunotherapy, but like they were hoping that with immunotherapy it would maintain the cancer, so she'd be back in. I remember though collecting her in James's Hospital, and when the doctor shook her hand as if to say goodbye, I went,
"What's happening?"
He didn't say goodbye like that, but I went, "Oh my God!" And I said, "Sorry." And
there was
I
used a sense to, of finality.
I used to have to put my hand up to ask a question because I wasn't allowed to ask so many questions. And I said, "Wait, my question, can I ask a question?" "Oh, go on." She said, "You're annoying her." And I said, "Why are you saying goodbye?" And then I realised, you know, leaving that hospital
when
that
was
day,
that
was probably just that was probably in November, because she came back from Boston that time and she could barely walk.
When she's finally diagnosed with cervical cancer, it's lockdown, isn't it? It's 2020, 2021, around that time.
It's lockdown, and it's strange. And of course, the world, you know, there were terrible things happening to other people. And I remember thinking it's so much worse for other people. And it was worse for other people. But we were trying to liaise information and communication. I do remember my sister outside a window. as a consultant, was talking to Bedeeds and trying to, you know, listening outside the window.
But
we thought nothing of that because we were getting information. This was a celebration. You see, there's two ways of thinking in our family. We're straight up like my dad, or we're pretending it's not happening. I'm not saying it's like Mom. Okay, she's listening. It probably is. But do you understand? And I'm more like my father. I'd be like, hold on a second.
Breathe was more private.
I think she was, yeah. And it was her way. But I remember when we realised it was very bad is when, you know, a kidney was given trouble and there was something else. It was every 3 days there was something else.
It had spread.
Oh, yeah. And when it spread, cervical cancer is the... No. Somebody listening is going to give out to me. Every cancer is terrible, but I've never witnessed anything like this. It's painful. Mm-hmm. And this thing of, you know, but at least there's painkillers. It's still painful. It's cruel. It's so invasive, if you can imagine, for a woman.
The treatment is horrific.
Well, think about it. It's in there. It's that part of our body that we cherish, that gives us babies, that is everything and anything. But it's so cruel. It is the cruelest.
Was it easier to talk about Ascuelga?
Yeah, it is. And I suppose talking to Una Mullally, I did all the kinds of Ascuelga. And then Una would say, oh, Blona, Blona, you're talking so fast. I said, oh, yeah, okay, start again. Because in Irish, I think I speak fast in English, but in Irish, I speak very fast.
Yeah.
It is easier, Ascuelga. Mar, adding Chinese Nodri, it's more natural.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I never spoke English to Breeds. You know, it's not as siblings as my mom. We all speak Irish to each other. So it's funny, you know, Irish comes back in when you're in bits and when you're really happy. I've never, you know, even Kieran would say when you take off an Irish, I know it's bad or it's brilliant because it's, I don't have to translate
the
so quickly.
The strongest emotions.
Yeah, because I'm not translating as quickly, you know. And it was lovely because Áine Ní Bhreislán, she's an amazing broadcaster, a good friend of mine and family's really. She wrote a poem about Breeds when Breed died. And when she sent us the poem, that the day Breed died, I thought it had come out of one of those fantastic books up in Glendore or somebody someone from Tory Island had written this. Because Breeds was called Breeds because she was born around St. Bridget's Day, 25th of January. Rightly or wrongly, poignantly, but he died at the end of January, you know, on the 28th. But when she sent the poem, it was unreal. And I read it at the funeral. And if people who don't speak Irish have asked me thousands of times, I've said, Blona, that poem, you know, and in one of them it says, Sprag to interior of the vase boon, grow a tile of huggers cordis, gugudi brat the chimer of the rom and the shivrids. May the memory of you be like a cloak around your family now. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. She never, as you say, she didn't want to confront the fact that this...
Well...
She diagnosed that she's, what, 37 years
38
old?
38 when she was diagnosed. 38. But maybe, though, Oliver, maybe she did to herself. You know, I don't know. Maybe Breed's on her own knew everything. And she must have been told it by the doctors because they have to tell you. But I suppose her husband definitely did know it was... that night or in the next 2 days. Look, I was up there I left around 11. I mean, I was hiding behind her bed because if she woke up and saw me, she'd say, what are you doing here? But she was so weak that night. And I remember I couldn't get anything on Netflix except that Joe Black film, which is rubbish with Brad Pitt.
Oh, God.
And I'm there, I'm sitting behind her bed, hiding from her, watching it.
It's all about death.
It's all about death. What was I doing watching that? But maybe I was watching that for a reason to help myself cry more.
But you mentioned she had gone on a trip last year around Iha Hauna in the run-up.
She wanted to. That was on the list to go to Salem's, that place in Boston.
Who does she travel with?
Máire Fáidín from Connemara, her great friend. And they were on a yacht together, or not a yacht, they were on a cruise together the previous year. And Máire Fáidín is a beautiful young woman from Connemara. And Breeds loved her Connemara friends. Like we went to Connemara last July. It was a big trip. Breeds was so unwell, but we all had to go.
Yeah.
we had to go.
And we had to
have the crab claws, you know.
Did she enjoy her trip? It was over to Massachusetts.
I'm not sure if she enjoyed it. She was in pain. I mean, at one stage there was a phone call and we were trying to figure out how to get her home because she was in such pain. And she said to me, and I said, where are you now, Breeds? I'm sitting here with a glass of red. I said, oh my God, like you're having a glass of red and you're in pain. Yeah, trying to figure out what to do. I'm going, oh my God. I mean, she was even in a wheelchair at one stage over there.
Really?
Oh yeah.
But like, she was determined, Oliver, to go to Salem's Lot. I mean, hello.
I can't Salem's Lot's some place based on
about Halloween and all that. But yeah, she was going to Euro Disney in February in her head. And she was bringing her, she adored her nephews and nieces, by the way. Adore them. And she'd bring them on to Euro Disney on trips at different times.
And she'd know how to do it, of course.
Oh my, know how to do it. And Mickey and Minnie. And when she saw Mickey and Minnie, she'd go, Mickey, Minnie, I love you. And we go, oh my God, so embarrassing. But she adored her. She was, if someone had a textbook, the perfect aunt, she was an amazing aunt.
Was last Christmas devastating? Was it sad? But did she prepare for it as she normally would? I presume she was into Christmas.
Well, on the 23rd, I meet my good friend Anna Nolan, usually 23rd for lunch. On the 23rd, I was in the city centre in Dublin. She was in hospital and I was running around looking for L'Occitane this, white candle this, Tabasco this for the prawn cocktail. I was running around like a crazy person. And I kept saying to Anna, I have to get all the stuff for Breeds. And the bags were full of the stuff she wanted to give to everyone. And then she realised, and we all roared laughing when we went home because she was on oxygen. She can't light a candle near an oxygen tank. But everything had to be perfect. And we made it as perfect as we could.
You knew this was going to be her last Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
That was never discussed and she never acknowledged.
But we knew it. And she was so weak. Oliver, everything took such an effort. The chair, to the door, to the sitting down. Everything became... I mean, it was so visual. It was just so visual. Like every day there was something. She was just so weak in the end. God love her.
In January then, your son is playing for Coola.
Oh, yeah.
Breed's beloved team.
Well, now the word Breed says, I can hear her from screaming at me from heaven or wherever the creator is. It wasn't her beloved team, but she followed the championship with Coola. She knew all the subs. She used to say to me, why don't they put Michael Conroy on? I'd say, where? What? Why? Who? And then she'd say, and where's so-and-so? And where's... And she knew their nicknames and some of their nicknames are a bit mad. One of them is called Pig. And you can't scream on the side, good man, Pig. Go on, Pig. Breed knew everyone's name. And she would scream her head off. And it just so happened Pather scored a goal. And by the way, Pather doesn't really score goals. He's midfield.
This is the All-Ireland final we're talking about.
Yes, the club final.
Clear to people, yeah. Club final, Coola wins.
Yes, it was so exciting.
And Pather O'Cuffig Byrne, they would know him.
But he scored anyway. And he said to me, I'll get the cup up to her. And he did.
Because she's watching in hospital.
She's watching in hospital.
And she misses nothing, does she?
The nurses are from other countries. Yeah. They don't know any Gaelic football or what's going on. And she's all about Coola and she's screaming her head off with my mom with her and her best friend Maureen Vaug, who's her, they were born within a month of each other, next door to each other. And Maureen must be incredibly lonely. But anyway, so they were watching this and at one stage Maureen Vaug said, when Pather scored, the machine went off. I think he just stopped breathing for a second. They were freaking out with the excitement. But she
had the nurses dressed in Coola.
She was all about the Coola. And as I said, those nurses, I don't think they'd seen Gaelic football before in their lives. They'll never forget it now. But the gas thing was, Maud and my sister always said, you know, she swore that those 2 days gave Breeds, you know, those 2 days of life that were extra days because
she was so unwell.
Because of the win. She was so excited. Where are you going? And she was texting me, are you all heading to Dalkey? Where are you going to go next? And I'd be like, oh my God. And I'd be answering, I'd be just trying to rest. But he got the cup up to her, which is fantastic.
She spots this, doesn't she, on watching the TV and
she sees
Pather, your son, hug
you. She spots the whispering and she thinks he's saying something. I don't know. She probably thinks he's saying something to me. I'm crying because of Breeds. He's crying because of Breeds. You know, yes, Coola won and it would make most people cry. But there was one thing in our heads, a few days left or weeks. We thought weeks then, though, in fairness, Oliver, yeah. We didn't think days. And, you know, it didn't matter. You know, people saying, oh, look at a proud mother and the commentary. Oh, look at that proud mother. And I am a proud mother, of course. But they didn't know what was going on, you know. And they didn't have to, but... It was lovely, though, to bring the cup to her.
So the whispering was
massive.
You're talking about Breed.
Yeah.
And it's, I'll bring the cup up.
And he said, I'll bring the cup up now. And he did. He brought the cup up. But it was massive. She was delighted. And she didn't really want that many pictures taken because she didn't feel she looked well. But she
sat up with that cup in the picture, and you could see the fight in her, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she know it was coming to her end?
I don't know. I hope she didn't, which is weird because I'd hate her to be scared. Did she know? I don't know, Oliver. Like, I have dreams and I hope somebody tells me in my dream, or I hope she comes to me and says something. But for my brother and, sorry, my sisters and my mother, it's just like we're in shock. Yeah. And we shouldn't be, because it's nearly a year, but it's just so hard.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you.
She was the baby girl in the house, wasn't she?
She was the baby girl. I could kill her, though. Like, I'm not going to pretend it was all bells and whistles and we were delighted with each other. We could murder each other. But she was always there. Like, she was just always there. And but people have been incredible. I've got texts and Instagram messages from people that I don't really know. A lot of them I don't know. People saying, oh, my God, when I lost my brother, oh, my God, when I lost my sister. So it's like something that... I'm not sure if it's something we talk about. I don't think it is.
A sibling, losing a sibling.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
a kind
know.
Of a grief we don't give value to or
well,
something,
it's not
isn't
that
it?
We don't give value, but we have such a fear of, as a mother, you have a fear of a child dying on you. Mm-hmm. And that's talked about, and it should be. And then as a child, you have your fear of your mom and dad dying on yeah. you. But it's, you just don't think of your sibling, and then you especially don't think of your little sister.
Yeah.
But the messages I've got from people, like, I mean, I this was just a small interview in the Times and on Saturday, and yet people are obviously relating to it on another level. And there's no big, like, I'm not doing that, and I'm not ready to do that. Oh, what's it all about? And, you know, what's the message? There is no message. The message is, you know, Bea died. And I suppose if there's anything, get your smears. And I hate them. I'm telling you, as a man looking at me, oh my God, Oliver, you have no idea. I hate them. And then friends of mine go, I don't know what your big deal is. It doesn't bother me at all getting them. Everyone is different. But it's so important. It's so important. Talk to your children, those who missed out on the HPV, all those stuff to do with... Cervical is so hard. Cervical cancer is so hard to detect.
It's quite random as well, isn't it?
Not, yeah.
There's no hereditary line that they can detect.
Not necessarily.
This
wasn't.
Is why smear tests are a thing.
Yeah.
You have to detect the undetectable.
Yeah, and it's abnormal cells are often, very often, no big deal. Like, loads of women I know of abnormal cells came up in the reading of the smear, but they have to go in and get them sorted. So... Unfortunately, we actually thought that it was going to be like that with AIDS, and it wasn't, you know, it was more than abnormal cells. But the problem with cervical, when it spreads, it gets into your lymph nodes, like, that's kind of it, you know?
You have at some to stage. Get the smear test on, but it's very uncomfortable, isn't it?
Well, you see, you're looking at me like, I'm sure men find prostates uncomfortable as well. But
At least there's a blood test now, initially, and then the exam is uncomfortable.
Yeah, but
this sort of thing will save your life.
It could do.
I looked it up. It sounds horrific.
No, it's listen, some women have no bother with them. People are going to laugh, Lana, you've had four children. What's your problem with a smear test? I'm going, I just hate them. But that's just me. Like, my sister doesn't bother my sister, best friends doesn't bother. Loads of people, it doesn't bother them. But you just got to grin and bear it and do it. And
that's
it's
your
like,
message, really.
That
isn't
is
it?
My message.
It's life saving.
When you find the nurse who does it really comfortably for you, follow her to the next clinic. Because there, and if she's been a midwife, she knows how to do it well. I always say that about these amazing nurses that are in GPs now. A lot of them might have come through the system and might have been in Hollis Street or wherever. They are the best, you know, and they know there's nothing they don't know. And they're best at making you the most comfortable.
And Anshanga is very good for discussing women's bodies, isn't it? Because there's
Gaul, we call your vagina, gaul, yeah. And I always think it's a beautiful word actually, gaul, yeah.
Much nicer word.
Oh my God, the words in Irish, that's another programme for another day. If your producer's looking at me seriously, Blondie, do you want to get so much in? But like, there's so many beautiful words in Irish that describe... the body, that it's more comfortable. I know I'm not saying that people aren't comfortable in English, but it's more comfortable to talk about things in Irish for Irish speakers.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
And you're native, you've been speaking since
I was born. Forever. Like my parents just spoke Irish to me since I was born.
We talk about the same subject, but why do you think it's a little bit different? Ascoilia.
I just think it's more real. It depends on who you are and how you were brought up, you know. I think you have to understand that, you know,
you know, that even Imoroel, my mother would say, oh, you know, to hold a baby in your chest or hold a baby beside you, the roll on your lap and the chliavroch. There's just so many words. They just sound better.
They're like, direct. It's more direct or something.
It's more direct and it's more loving. And I always loved the word, I always had it with the kids, is lochin, which is when you just put your hand across a cheek, lochin. And there's no English for lochin. It's just the gesture of rubbing their cheek, yeah. Lochin.
There's some lovely messages, particularly because you're talking about siblings. And someone says, I so agree with Blonde, that loss of a sibling is a loss of a shared history. It's so unlike other losses. That's really true, isn't it? I lost my sister this time last year. It still hurts so much. Thank you, Suzanne. It's this thing because you know each other from forever. And the loved ones in your lives, they only know you from a certain point. Mm-hmm. Your siblings.
And I think
different.
You have that same relationship with your siblings. Like you could be 12 again. Looking at them. And that's why you clash with them sometimes, because, you know, maybe we don't let each other grow up. Maybe we are as we thought we were back in the day.
We revert.
You know, yeah. There'd be murder. And I wasn't quite like the Waltons now, let's be honest. You know, there could be murder half the time.
Great listening to Blonde, that she captures so beautifully the relationship with sisters, a love of humour and honesty in what's a difficult time. Sisters are the only ones we can be like this with each other. Love the Gaelic as well. Fitcha fucha. This is not there. Cancer is so cruel and painful. I lost my sister to leukemia a year ago. Went into hospital one night in August, never came out. She never came out. Died in November. Cruel witnessing it for the 4 months, how she suffered. That's from Anna.
Mm. It's terrible. It must be awful for Anna. My heart goes out to her. It's shocking and it's weird and it's strange and all those terrible things. But you do have, you do, even speaking to you, you know, you still have a laugh about things to Breed, you know, and I love having the crack about things to Breed. And Breed was great for, like, don't laugh. I love dancing in my kitchen, but Breed was great for taking on a jive. You know, like say it's 12 o'clock at night and everyone might be killing each other and you've had a few glasses of wine and no one wants to dance, but Breeze would dance with you. Breeze would start Irish dancing, or we do half a set in the kitchen, or we do a jive. You know, you're really judged from the Midlands if you can't jive, Oliver. You know, you have to be able to jive.
You have to, yeah.
So Breeze would love the dancing, you know, she would just, yeah.
Today in your clan, it's a joyful day, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
A lovely occasion.
It is. We have my son's graduation today, so a bit of work to do, and then I'll head out to his graduation, which is brilliant. Number 3, you only get another child over the over the line. I'm not saying I'm getting
rid of
them.
Is this Pather now?
No, this Pather's done. It's the other fella, Cole, the third fella, third child. So he's graduating today.
What's he graduating in?
I'm so embarrassed. I met a colleague upstairs. She said, "What are you graduating?" He's graduating in engineering.
Oh, engineering, very good.
He's graduating in engineering, and we're heading off to Australia for Christmas, which is great. Yeah.
So you can enjoy these moments of joy, but does the grief just arrive?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Like a gust.
I know it's stupid. I'm hoping I go off to Australia and I come back, and it never happened. Just stupid.
That's the feeling.
Well, why, you know, someone said to me, why are you running away? And I'm not running away, I'm just going away to the sun. My daughter's over there, Oliver, so it'll be lovely to be with her.
You know, lovely.
Yeah, but Sheila's over there and it will be really nice.
When you think of your sister Breed now in those moments of the grief, what memory comes to the fore?
At the moment, she'd be telling me where to go in Sydney. She'd be giving me
You're kind of chatting to her in your
head. Yeah, I kind of chat to her and I can row with her too about things. Like I can get annoyed about things. But what memory? I don't know. You see, sometimes I dream about her in the most obscure ways. And then I have memories. I suppose I have memories of varied things, some rows, and I regret saying things to her in a row, or some memories of laughter and dancing. New Year's Eve last year, she was very weak, but we really turned it on to kind of be, yeah, we're great drinking Prosecco and we'll all really make an effort here. And I suppose one of my memories is coming back to my mom's house and Maud's children, who are hilarious, were in the kitchen and they're pretending to be on a catwalk like they were modelling, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and we had great crack. So yeah, I have memories of that kind of stuff. But I also have memories of her as a child, and that's my greatest memory. She would always play, you know, Tachberg house. You know, she had a fake, you know, a little plastic kitchen, and she was so busy, and there's your breakfast and there's your coffee and there's your tea, and you'd be sitting there after being out at the local disco and at Boy the night before going, seriously, but it's like, I'm a teenager, I don't want to do this, I was too cool. But she'd always be turning it on and playing house, and, you know, that's my memory of her.
Ah, oh, it's beautiful. Well, God rest her. Or yes, Jagareva Hanum.
Gormina Mahat.
And enjoy your day today.
Yeah, I will. I will. I will make every effort to do that.
Blonda Nikofig, thank you so much.
Gormila Mahat, Oliver. Gormila Mahat.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.